Turning again to that psalm that we read earlier, please, to the Psalm 121, and with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a brief word of prayer. Father, we do thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us already in this meeting this morning. We thank Thee for the blessing and the encouragement, singing these old hymns and paraphrases, how they bless our hearts. How they encourage our souls when they remind us of the great truth of God and what God is to His people, that He is that shepherd who neither slumbers nor sleeps. And Lord, bless us now as we turn to meditate upon Thy word. Take away every distracting thought, O God, that is not of Thee. Lord, cleanse my heart afresh in the precious blood from every sin and stain, I pray. Lord, fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Lord, hide man behind the cross today, O Lord. May no man or voice be seen or heard, but the voice of the Lord. Bless and break the bread of life to our souls. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon everyone in the congregation this morning. Lord, we pray that this day that sinners would flee from the wrath to come, that they would flee to Christ for salvation. And Lord, our prayer is that through the going forth of Thy word, Lord, that every believer in Christ, Lord, will be sanctified more and more in the purpose of God for their life. That every child of Thine will be drawn closer, Lord, to Thee. Lord, give us obedient hearts, yielded hearts, open hearts to what God the Lord would say to us. And Lord, let us not just be hearers and then forget about Thy word, Lord. But, O Lord, help us to be doers of Thy word. And by Thy grace, O God, live it out in all of our lives, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen and Amen. Now, Psalm 121 is a psalm of great encouragement to the people of God. It has been called the Traveler's Psalm, especially suited to those on their journeys. And it has also been called the soldier psalm, especially suited to the soldier going into battle, going to face the enemy. Many Bible commentators would tell us that this psalm can be ascribed to Hezekiah, a king of Judah. During that particular time when the city of Jerusalem was being besieged by their enemy, the Assyrians. At this particular time, Hezekiah and God's people were shut up in the city of Jerusalem. And they were awaiting the onslaught of a ferocious invader. Their situation was desperate. We could say they were at wit's end corner. But in the midst of their desperate situation and circumstance, they could still look upward to heaven. And they could still look to the Lord. Now, the psalm itself really consists of two parts. In the first two verses there you have the psalmist looking to the Lord for help and for encouragement in a situation. And then in the remaining part of the psalmist tells of the Lord's great power, the Lord's great might, the Lord's omnipotence, that He is the Almighty God. And my, He is one who acts on the behalf of His people. Why, we can say this morning that this psalm has been a favorite of many. I'm sure that the words of the psalm are precious to each and every one of us in the gathering today, especially in times of trouble when the shadows deepen and when the future looks bleak. God's people have found great encouragement, great solace, great succor, great comfort from the words of this psalm. Dear people, this morning as we continue on with our studies and these songs of degrees, I want us today just to look at this psalm and note in it the testimony of God's guardian care of His own redeemed people. First of all, I want you to see this morning that as the guardian of His people, the Lord is their King. Look at verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. Whenever Hezekiah and Jerusalem heard that the Assyrians were coming, they had great cause to fear. For the Assyrians had an awesome reputation. They were a ferocious people. But in the midst of such darkness, the psalmist says here in verse 1 of the psalm, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now as the psalmist looks at the hills around about the city of Jerusalem, he is reminded of one who is greater than the hills. Now he is reminded of the Lord who made the very hills and mountains around about Jerusalem out of nothing. And the writer testifies of this in the very next verse, verse 2 of the psalm. He says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. By knowing the Lord as the Almighty King of creation, the psalmist knows here that he can rely upon the Lord to protect him and to keep him safe from the onslaught of the enemy that was coming in upon him and the people of God. Dear Christian, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. In your times of darkness, follow the example here of the psalmist in this psalm. And why, as you look at creation around you, as you look at the hills and the mountains in our land, remember this, that there is one who is greater than them all. That one is the Lord God Almighty, as the hymn writer says, the very King of creation. With the very word of his mouth, he spoke them into existence when he created this world in 6 literal days. Why, the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Why, the creation all around us, it shows the greatness of God, and the mountains, yes, they remind us of the great power of God. Dear child of God, learn this morning, such is the power of God that he is able to help you and your own particular need today. Whatever that need is, such is the greatness of his might. Now the hymn writer says, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brooks and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great is our God this morning. Turn with me in your Bible over to Psalm 40. And here in Psalm 40, the prophet again was writing to God's people in a time of great trial to them personally and nationally amongst the people of Judah. And he seeks to comfort them by this thought that they would behold God and the greatness of God in their time of need. Look at how he begins, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, he begins with these beautiful words, comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. And that's the work of every minister, every preacher, every pastor, to comfort and encourage God's people. And how did Isaiah do that in his day and generation? Go on down Isaiah chapter 40 to the verses number 9 and the verse number 10 and the verse number 12. You'll see this, how he encouraged God's people in their time of need. He says in verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 40, he says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah. Notice the statement, behold your God. Isaiah was wanting the people to get their eyes of themselves and their eyes upon the Lord. He says, behold your God. Notice what he says to them about their God in verse 10 and verse 12 of Isaiah chapter 40. He says, behold, the Lord God will come. Notice it, with a strong hand. The Lord is almighty. He's strong. And his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with them and his work before them. Look at verse 12. He asks here a series of questions about the Lord. He says, who have measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Think of the seas. Think of the oceans. The answer to that question is the Lord. The Lord has measured them all in the hollow of his hand. Then ask the question in the middle of verse 12. He says, who have meted out heaven with the span of his hand? In other words, who has measured heaven with the span of his hand? And again, the answer to that question is the Lord. He has measured it from one end to another. He knows all the stars by name. He knows the length and the size and the breadth of the universe. Notice again what he goes on to say about the Lord. He says, and who hath comprehended, he says, the dust of the earth and the measure. Think of all the dust here in our own country. Think of all the dust of all the deserts of the world. My God has them all weighed exactly. He knows the measurement. He knows the weight thereof. Look at what he says there at the end of verse 12. He says, who have measured the mountains and the scales and the hills and the balance? What a vision Isaiah had here of the Lord. And he was wanting God's people in their day of extremity to see and ponder the greatness of God. Oh, child of God, let me say to you this morning, in your times of trial, in your personal life, in your home life, your family life, maybe even in your work and your employment, child of God, heed the words of the prophet Isaiah this morning at the end of verse 9. Behold your God. Look to God. Get your eyes off yourself, your circumstance, your situation. Behold the greatness of God. Also, child of God, in your times of need and the work of God, whatever you put your hand to as a Christian for the Lord and in the needs of God's work, even in an evil and an ungodly day such as the day in which we're living, child of God, behold your God. Realize the greatness, the power, the vastness of your God. This is what the psalmist did in the psalm before us this morning. And he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, such is the greatness of God. He can meet your personal need today, dear Christian, and every day of your life. Such is the greatness of God, dear believer. He can meet your need in the work of God and the cause of Christ and in His church today and every day until Jesus comes in glory and in great power. Oh yes, here we see from the psalm that the Lord is one as the guardian who is the King of His people. But let us look again at the psalm before us. Notice secondly this morning that as the guardian of His people, notice secondly that the Lord is their keeper. And you see this in particular in verses 3 and 4 of the psalm. Those two verses there show us how the Lord can keep His people when they are weary. Notice what the psalmist says there at the beginning of verse number 3. He says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now, whenever Hezekiah took a bold stand and defying the Assyrian invaders, he was confident here that the Lord would not allow him to fall before the enemy. That was his confidence. And my, in response to his prayer for deliverance, God sent him a wonderful answer through the prophet Isaiah. God said, for I will defend the city and save it for mine own sake. My, as you know, in the British Army, the highest medal for bravery is the Victoria Cross. And it's awarded for outstanding bravery in the day of battle. And those who win this medal, they have responded to the impulse of the moment and bravery and acts of courage and facing the enemy. Well, we can say this morning that Hezekiah, he won his VC in his day and generation because he courageously stood against the ungodly Assyrians. And in taking this stand, the Lord would not let him fall before the enemy. Christian, in the meeting this morning, let me say this to encourage you. Whenever you take your stand for God in your Christian life and for His Word and for His testimony, and when you do what's right, the Lord will not let you fall. Look at the promise there of verse 3 of the psalm. It says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will give you grace. He'll give you courage to stand firm for God in an evil and ungodly day. Turn with me back to Psalm 84. Just a few pages back from our reading this morning. Psalm 84. And look with me at verse 11. What a promise there is here for every Christian to stand up for the Lord and do what's right and honor the Lord, His Word and His testimony. In verse 11 of Psalm 84 it says this. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. What's a shield for? It's for protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Child of God, may that verse always encourage you when you're faced with choices in life to make the right choice. To do what's right in the sight of God. To honour the Lord. To honour his word. Yes, it says there in our psalm this morning in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Notice the final words there of verse 3. It says, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Mine opposing the Assyrians, Hezekiah needed one to watch over him. He needed one to guard him. That one was the Lord who never slumbers. That one was the Lord who never grows weary. Oh, likewise, the Lord watches over all who are saved, all who are living for him. Look at the promise of the psalmist in the very next verse, verse 4 of the psalm. He speaks of the Lord and he says, behold, he that keepeth Israel, that's all God's people, shall neither slumber nor sleep. Christian in the meeting, let me say this to you this morning. The Lord never forgets about you, his child. He never forgets about you. Other people may forget about you. Even other well-intended Christians may forget about you. We all forget at times. But I tell you this, dear believer, the Lord is one who never will forget about you. What did Peter say to the Christians in their time of trial in verse 12 of the first chapter of his first epistle? He said this, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. Christian, his eye is continually upon you. Continually upon you day by day. His ear is continually open unto your prayer and your crying. The Lord does not slumber. The Lord never grows weary. His eye is ever watchful upon you. His ear is ever open unto your cry and your plight. But look also here at verses 5 and 6 of the psalm. Notice here how the Lord also can keep his own people in times of weakness. Notice what the psalmist says there in verse 5 of the psalm. He says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Notice the mention there of the right hand. It's very important. In ancient times, what was the right hand used for? It was used for wielding the sword, or throwing the javelin, the spear, in the day of battle. And by these words here, the psalmist was saying that even though he was weak, the Lord would be his defense at his right hand, so to speak, against the enemy. In the day of battle, he's really telling us here that his weakness would be offset by God's strength and by God's power. Likewise, dear believer, the Lord, as it says there in verse 5, will be the shield upon thy right hand also. In other words, dear Christian, you and I in our weakness, we can depend upon the Lord's almighty strength. And Christian, the Lord will defend you from every quarter when you are attacked as a Christian, as a believer. Remember what the psalmist David said in Psalm 7. He said, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. The Lord was his shield, his defender. The Lord was his defense in the time of need. In his own time of weakness, remember what the Lord said to Paul, the great apostle. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And because of that great promise from the Lord, Paul said this, he said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul gloried in his weakness. He gloried in his infirmities. Why? That the strength of God would be made perfect in his weakness. That the glory of God's power would rest upon him. Christian, when you're attacked by the world, the flesh, and the devil, remember this, that the Lord's power is sufficient to defend you. He is able to defend you at all times. and in all seasons. Look at verse 5 again. It says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand." Look at verse 6. It says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Notice the mention there of day and night. In other words, the psalmist faced danger in the night season as well as the day season. Yet in all these seasons, the Lord would be his defense. The Lord would be his defender. And likewise, believer, can I say this to you this morning? At all seasons, the Lord will be your defense. He will be your defender. Even in your times of great weakness as a Christian. Turn with me back to Psalm 71. I want you to see here what the psalmist testifies of regarding the Lord's strength in his time of great weakness. Look very carefully at the words that he uses in verses 5 and 6 and 7 of Psalm 71. Here he is thinking about when he was a child, even before he was born. He said the Lord was his strength, the Lord was his defense. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 71. He says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God." Notice it, "thou art my trust." Notice it, "from my youth," my young days. Look at verse 6. He says, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." He says, "I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge." Even in his childhood days, in the days of his infancy, in the days of his youth, the Lord was the defense of his child, the psalmist. Oh, child of God, what does that teach you and I here? It teaches you and I this: the Lord will be your defense, he'll be my defense in our times of great weakness in our life. Not only in our youth, but even right to the very end of our days upon the scene of time. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. Go on over to Isaiah chapter 46 and look with me at the verse number 4. What a promise this is to every child of God, even when the weakness of body and infirmity of old age sets in into their life, into their physical frame. The Lord is still their strength. Look at verse 4 of Isaiah 46. The Lord says to his people, "And even to your old age I am he. And even to the hoar hairs," the grey hairs, so to speak, he says, "will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you." Child of God, the Lord will defend you in the weakness of your youth and your infant days, but he'll also defend you in the weakness of old age. Child of God, no matter where you are, that's the truth here in your life. No matter when it is, the Lord is able to protect you in your time of weakness. Look again also at our psalm this morning. Look at verse 7 of the psalm. That verse shows us there how the Lord can keep his people from wickedness also as their keeper. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 7 of the psalm. He says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." That word evil there means that which is extremely wicked. It means that which is extremely injurious. That's the meaning there behind the word. You think of Hezekiah whenever he faced the Assyrians. He was dealing with a most wicked foe. They were noted for their ferocity and their barbarity. There was no Geneva Convention in their day to put a restraining hand upon them from the awful injury that they would inflict upon those that they subjugated in the day of battle. Nothing to restrain them. They were a terrible, evil foe. And you know the evil here of the Assyrians that the psalmist was facing. It reminds every Christian, it reminds every believer that within their own heart there is an old nature, an old sinful, evil, depraved nature that is capable of any sin, that is capable of plumbing the depths of any iniquity. You see, in the life of every Christian, there is two natures. There's the new nature, born again of the Spirit of God. There's the old nature, that old nature from Adam. And the two war against each other, and there'll be that war until the believer is called home to glory. And that old nature can be used by Satan to bring the child of God down. Paul said of that old nature in his own heart and life, he says, "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Child of God, how can you and I overcome this old nature day by day in our Christian life? By the power of God. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, within you as a believer. When you go home this morning, child of God, read through the book of Galatians chapter 5. And in that chapter there, Paul is writing specifically to Christians, to those who were saved, who were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And in the middle part of that chapter, he lists the works of the flesh, those things from the old nature that can be used as besetting sins against the child of God to hinder them in their work and their witness for Christ. But then in verses 22 and 23, he says this to the Christian. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Oh dear Christian, the power of the Holy Spirit in you is the secret to overcoming the wickedness of that old nature within your heart as a Christian. Child of God, to know this overcoming power day by day as a believer, my, you must obey the Lord in all things, lest you grieve His Holy Spirit. And daily as a believer, you should pray and ask God for the infilling of the Holy Ghost in your heart and life and soul day by day as a Christian. Paul wrote to the Christians at Ephesus and he said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost." Christian, that's something you and I should be praying for every day in our lives as God's people. And then we will experience the great promise here at verse 7 in the Psalm. And it says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." But notice finally here this morning in verse 8 how the Lord keeps His people also from waywardness. It says in verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore." Whenever Hezekiah was besieged by the Assyrians, there was no going out or coming in. The city was shut up. The enemy was encamped all around. But my, whenever God smote the enemy, the city gates were opened. The people were able to go out and come in and safely. And likewise, dear believer, the Lord is able to keep you at home, in your household with your family. But He's also able to keep you when you're abroad, when you're away from home and somewhere else in your travels. Remember how the Lord kept young Joseph when he was away from home down in Egypt? The Bible tells us the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. He knew the Lord's presence, the Lord's keeping power upon him as a young man. Just 17 years of age, thereabouts, away from his father's house. Down in Egypt. Child of God, the Lord will bless you and keep you when you're going out. But He'll also bless you and keep you when you're coming in your home and in your family. Remember what the Bible says about the household of Obed-Edom. In verse 11 of chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, it says this, "And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months." And it says this, "And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. The blessing of God was his portion in his home and amongst his family." Oh, Christian, whenever you obey the Lord's will, He will bless you. He will keep you in your going out and in your coming in as a believer. But notice there what the psalmist says at the very end of verse 8 of the psalm. Notice there how the security of God's people here is eternal. Notice that. Don't miss it. Note those final words of the psalm, from this time forth, even for evermore. Child of God, mark this truth and mark it well. The Lord will never allow any of His blood-bought, redeemed children to be lost. You remember that. Every child of God is secure in the hand of Christ. Believer, you who have repented of your sins, you who have trusted Christ and accepted Him as your Savior, the Lord will never allow you to be lost. No child of God can ever be lost. Dear believer, don't believe that statement that a child of God can be saved one day and lost the next day, no matter who tells you, no matter who the preacher is. It's wrong doctrine. It's wrong teaching. It's not in accordance with the Word of God. Child of God, even in death itself, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will keep you. And the Lord will bring you safely into heaven, safely to glory. Turn with me over to the little book of Jude, the last, second last book of the Bible. And look with me at verse 24 of the little book of Jude. And notice how Jude brings this little epistle to an end and writing to God's people in the day of great trial. Look at verse 24 of the chapter. He says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you," notice it, "from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." That speaks of the Christian being secure, brought into heaven. What a thought here to cheer your heart when you are saved. No matter what comes your way, the Lord will keep you secure, bring you safely unto heaven. As the hymn writer says, you are safe in the arms of Jesus. Paul says, nothing shall separate the believer from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. O Christian, until that day when the Lord comes, or until that day when the Lord calls you home to glory, may you learn as a believer to rest more and more upon the Lord. Upon your Lord, upon your Savior, who is able to save, not only to save you, but to keep you unto eternal life. If you're in the meeting this morning and you're still not saved, I trust this morning that you realize in your unsaved condition that as you sit in this meeting today, you have no one to keep you in life. You have no one to keep you in death. You're just like a ship without an anchor, and you're drifting recklessly and aimlessly out into the sea of life, on into the sea of God's eternity. If your sin is not forgiven, you die in your sin, it will ruin your soul and bring you down into a lost, lost sinner's hell. That's where your sin is taking you to without Christ. Oh friend, if you are to be wise, you must repent of your sin. Turn to Christ and trust Him for salvation. And when you do, He will forgive all your sins. He will save your soul. He will give you power to live for His glory. And one day He will take you into heaven, all because of what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. That's the great hope of the gospel. The Bible says He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Friend, today unsaved, will you not flee from your sin? Flee from the wrath to come. Trust Christ. Then you'll be able to rest upon the Lord day by day as your keeper. The one who will keep you in your going out and in your coming in. Even from this time forth and forevermore. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us in our meeting this morning. We pray that Thou will take the lessons and the truths of this psalm and, Lord, write them upon every heart and soul in this meeting. Help us day by day as Thy people to keep our eyes upon the Lord, to behold our God, to look to Him in every circumstance and situation of life. Help us to realize that the Lord is our guardian by day and by night. And Lord, for those in our meeting unsaved, drifting in the sea of life, out into the great ocean of God's eternity, to a lost eternity, without an anchor in their soul, oh, that today they would flee from the wrath to come, that they would turn from their sin, and seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Bless us, Lord, as we tarry and wait behind and round the Lord's table. Bless all who can stay. Minister afresh to our hearts by Thy grace. For those that cannot stay, give journeying mercies. Bless us throughout this Thine own day. And return us again in Thy will this evening hour. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit. And extend Thy kingdom this day in this corner of Thy vineyard. For the glory of our Saviour. In whose name we pray. Amen.